wrongdoing. Perhaps you need to pray and ask God to guide you into accepting responsibility. Doing a daily examination of one's conscience could help. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
It's a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, how dare they? Life gives us lots of things to be upset about, but research shows that outrage rarely leads to action. We'll help you turn anger into action and solve those problems. Give us a call.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want for him.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, how dare they? We're talking about those people and situations that get under your skin, push your buttons, make you feel kind of outraged, you know? And we want to help you transform that anger into action so you can start actually solving those problems that are getting under your skin and dealing with those people that are driving you nuts. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're going to help you take charge of those situations and people that are just causing your emotional temperature to rise and anger to bubble out of your ears.
And, you know, I think that we're living in an age of outrage. You know, it's just everybody is just furious about something all the time. Some of it is really, really, really justified. I mean, there is so much justifiable outrage. Just look at the last week of news and we know it's ridiculous. And there are things that people in our own personal lives do to us that justify being outraged about. And then there's a lot of people like, I mean, you could post a picture of a potted plant online and somebody's going to be outraged at the pot you put it in or the light you added in. I mean, I'm being hyperbolic here, but I'm trying to go for the most benign thing and say somebody's still going to be outraged about
actually,
it.
Actually, yeah, no, you're not being because
I thought I was being hyperbolic, but I'm not.
Okay, so the number the most viral picture on the internet about a week or two ago was a picture of an egg.
Oh, yes.
Okay, why was the picture of an egg the most viral? Because people were so upset that
one of the Kardashians
had the most viral picture, so they were outraged that she should have the top spot, so they were going to show her how unimportant she was by making an egg the most important viral picture on the internet.
See, I knew about that. I didn't know that it was promoted through outrage.
Yeah, no,
but it makes sense. Pot of plant, an egg. And I think we're rightly giving vent to even little things, because there is so much that is unjust and out of God's order, that we really are angry.
True.
But Satan's enjoying it, man. He's kicking back with his little feet up on his desk, laughing his head off, while we all scream and yell and tear each other apart and don't do anything effective to change our marriages, our relationships with our kids, our relationships with our extended family, the stuff that's unjust in this world that's happening. We need to not just let Satan have a good time by making us all furious. We need to really start having an effective way to deal with everything that's making us so angry.
Well, exactly. And one of the reasons we're talking about this, a new study that was conducted by Carnegie Mellon University, right here in our neck of the woods, and published in the online journal Plus One, found that, that outrage tends to be directly, how do I put it, that no matter how, we feel like we're doing something when we're outraged, right? But outrage tends not to lead to action. We make ourselves think that being upset about something is doing something about it. But generally speaking, the more outraged we are, the less we actually do about the problems we're outraged about. And so we thought, you know, based on that study, let's take a look at those things and those people that get under our skin and cause us to feel frustrated, fed up, angry, just kind of done with. And instead of getting upset about that stuff, let's figure out what to do about it. So are there certain people or situations in your life that are pushing your buttons today, this week, right now? Do things get under your skin in general? Do you ever feel so frustrated that it just makes you feel stuck and you can't think of what to do about it? What's causing your temperature to rise this week? We want to help you give up the illusion of action that outrage gives us and start turning that anger into actual solutions that enable you to get past the frustration and start experiencing both peace and answers. 877-573-7825. Tell us, are there certain people or situations in your life that are pushing your buttons right now? Do things just get under your skin in general and you're always kind of right below a 10 on the emotional temperature scale? Do you ever just feel so frustrated that it makes you feel stuck? And even though you're just always churning up about it, you don't know what you can do. And I'm not just talking about the bigger cultural stuff. I'm talking about in your life, right? The
things
with your
today,
spouse and your kids.
It's about it all. It's about both.
Well,
if it's the wider world that's driving you crazy, we're here for you. If it's the personal stuff in your life that's making you feel like everything is just wrong and it's making you angry, we're here for you today. And if you're angry, nobody here is going to tell you that's not okay. Nobody's shaming you for your anger. Nobody's telling you you're not allowed to have it. But we are going to help you deal with it in a way that makes you feel effective, brings you some peace, and does some good.
But let's give up the outrage, right? Because outrage gives us the illusion of action without producing any fruit. Let's talk about how we can make an appropriate, an effective, a proportionate, a productive response to whatever is making us angry. If there are certain people or situations that are pushing your buttons, getting under your skin, or causing you to feel so frustrated you just don't know what to do about it or them, we are here to help. 877-573-7825. You know, looking at this from the perspective of the theology of the body, we're reminded, of course, that the world isn't what it was created to be, but with God's grace, we both can and are charged with making it better. You know, anger, even outrage, is the emotion that helps us recognize injustice, and so that's a good thing as far as it goes. Unfortunately, as I said, research shows us that anger tends to be a poor motivator for actual action. In order to be effective, we've got to remember that anger isn't so much a call to action as it is a call to prayer. Because without prayer, anger can cause us to feel stuck or powerless or even just perpetually outraged with no solution in sight. So the theology of the body reminds us that God created our bodies, including our emotions, because emotions are part of our bodies, believe it or not, right? They created them to work for our good. But because sin has separated us from God and from our best selves, we've got to make a point. We've got to be intentional about bringing things like anger back to God so he can teach us what to do with it. So when something upsets us, you know, instead of giving into a sense of outrage, we've got to bring that anger to God first and say, okay, Lord, help me, number one, identify the problem. Number two, gather the resources you've already given me. And three, make a plan for how I can glorify you in my response. The better we can be about praying through those three questions in the presence of our anger, the more we can feel competent, confident, and grace-filled, even in the face of those situations and people that get under our skin. Okay, so that's the general vision, right? But how does it apply in your life and in your situations with the people and circumstances that are getting under your skin? Let's talk about it. 877-573-7825. Let's turn that outrage into action today on More to Life. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your love and for your grace and for reminding us that we can do all things through you, who are our strength. And yet, Lord, there are so many things that are not right in our lives, in the world, in our relationships, and we get angry and we feel frustrated and even outraged. But we also feel stuck in that anger because we feel like there's nothing we can really do to affect change. Lord, we give you all those situations right now where we feel powerless, where we feel stuck, where we feel just consumed by that sense of frustration. Help us to identify those small things that we can do, those small things that you can multiply through your grace, just like you multiplied the loaves and the fish, so that somehow even the tiny efforts we can make in response to these angering situations would be enough to help us find real solutions that glorify you in our response. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, how dare they? We're talking about how research shows that outrage, and we're all outraged these days, right? Outrage rarely leads to productive action. We want to talk about how to turn anger into action so that those people and situations that are getting under your skin, causing your emotional temperature to rise, we can find some real solutions for all those and more. Give us a call. Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Gail, who's listening to EWTN Radio in San Diego, California.
Hi there, Gail. Welcome to Mortal Life. What's up?
Hi. Good morning. Well, I have a situation where me and my boyfriend, we're really happy together. Been together for 2 years. And basically, we have people all around us telling us that we should be married already and have kids. And, you know, for me, it's not up to me. And more so, it's one of my coworkers. And it really bothers me. And it's not up to me, so I don't know what to do. She says she teases me sometimes.
When you say it's not up to you, what's not up to you exactly?
You know, I can't ask myself to get engaged or, you know, have a baby. It's up to God and whenever our time is. So that's what hurts my feelings.
I'm confused, though, because you said you're dating somebody, right? You said you have a boyfriend?
Yes.
And you've been dating for 2 years. Do you guys talk about any of that stuff together?
Oh, yes, we do. We're just not at a time right now. You know, we just moved in together, and we wanted to get married first before we have a child.
Well,
and
that's
money. We still have to go to the deacon and go through our counseling or program. But
you guys moved in together, you said?
Time. Yeah, we did.
Uh-huh. And so what, I guess, tell me a little bit more about that, because I just want to understand kind of what you're thinking there. Because you're saying you're going to the deacon to do the marriage prep and all that, and that seems to be kind of
you know, we got to get engaged first before anything, and we're just starting our, you know, our lives together. And
right, but you got to get engaged before you move in with each other. Like, that's, like, what, right. So why that order?
Well, our leases were both ending. We didn't have anywhere to go, and we live in San Diego, so the rent is high.
Uh-huh.
It was just going to be an easier situation for us to do it that way.
Okay, I got you. Look, Gail, here's the thing. You know, the reason that people are kind of saying, so when are you guys going to get married, when are you guys going to get kids, because you're acting like you're married, right? Now, I know that sounds old-fashioned, but even intuitively, culturally, it's still a thing, you know, and I know that, again, you know, what is it, 60-70% of people end up living together before they get married, and for the same reasons that you just gave. I'm not here to shame you about that. I understand kind of what your reasoning is, but I'm asking you, like, if you really want to get married and you really want to have a family, then my suggestion to you here is let's set it up right. You know, you deserve to have a love that lasts a lifetime, and when you set up a relationship the way you are, you're doing it in a way that actually it stacks the deck against you. Okay? Because what happens is you end up sliding into marriage instead of deciding for marriage. And there's a lot of research about this. If you don't believe me, go after the call, go on YouTube and check out Scott Stanley, Sliding Versus Deciding. Okay, it's a short talk, but it's a really good talk. He's at the University of Denver. And he talks about the traditional path to marriage, okay, was where you'd say, we're going to make decisions, public decisions, to increase commitment and decrease our options, right? So, you know, again, being old-fashioned here, it used to be we'd kind of casually date, but then you'd kind of go steady. Maybe there'd be some kind of, like, sign of
hey, we're not dating anybody
right.
else.
We're exclusive to each other. So we make this commitment, increased commitment, and decrease our options. And then we make this public commitment to engagement, which increases our commitment even more and decreases the options even further. Then we make this public commitment for marriage, and we make this, you know, increased commitment to that we're going to live for each other forever and decrease our options of we're not going to be unfaithful to each other. We're going to stick with each other for good and bad and sickness and health and all the rest, okay? So we traditionally decide into marriage. The current path now is sliding into marriage. So you start sleeping together, and then, you know, you got a toothbrush over there, and then you got enough stuff that you have a drawer over there, and then you have all your stuff over there.
Then you say, the rent's really high for two of us, and all my stuff is in your drawer, so I might as well just, like, share the rent with you.
And then you slide into that, and then you finally, eventually, maybe end up with a kid, because, you know, if you're sleeping together, chances are somebody's going to get pregnant at some point.
Sex is hard, making a family.
Okay? I know that comes as a shock to people these days, but it does happen. And then you end up with a kid or two, and people are looking at you funny, so it's like, oh, we might as well get married. And then you're standing at the altar, and that is the first time you've ever made an actual conscious decision about your marriage, about your relationship at all. And that's shocking. And then all of a sudden, one or the other of you, usually the guy, says, I didn't decide any of this. Wait a minute, where did this come from? How did I get this wife? How did I get these kids? How did I get all this responsibility? I didn't choose any of this. You know, and then the other person, again, usually the wife, says, what do you mean? You were there for the whole thing. Well, the problem was they slid into the relationship. They didn't decide for it. So my point in bringing all this up to you, Gail, even though this wasn't your question, is if you really want, as you say that you do, to have a marriage, to have kids, to have family, and to get everybody else off your back, then stop sliding into this relationship and being intentional about your life. Because if you're a faithful person, as you say that you are, God wants you to be intentional about building this life with the person he has in mind for you. He doesn't want you to slide into something and then just find out 5 to 10 years later that you were never meant to be there in the first place.
Well, and Gail, he wants so much more for you. He doesn't want you to be used as an easy way to pay the rent, as somebody to just, you know, hook up with. He wants you to be treasured and loved the way he treasures and loves you. He wants the man you're with to feel that same way about himself, to know he's treasured and loved. And you guys are both settling. And I'm going to step out here and say, Gail, I really believe that the reason your coworker and other people are getting on your nerves is because it's actually tweaking the real desire of your heart, which is to be with a man who'll step up enough to give you an engagement ring and a wedding ring and make those vows and do this right and not use you and not slide into things. If you felt like this was right, in right order for you and all of your dreams, in right order with what God created for you, you wouldn't be irritated by those people. You'd say, oh, aren't they ridiculous? But it's irritating you because I think it's really pricking something in you that says, they're kind of right. I really do, you know, want this. And you're saying, well, I can't get myself engaged. Gail, if you're saying that this is all up to him, then you're more addicted to him than you are in love with him. You're not working together with him to plan a life. You're just saying, well, maybe he'll get around to really doing this right, and maybe if we just spend some more time together. I mean, you're settling. Don't do that to yourself.
Yeah, you're not angry at your coworker. You're angry at yourself for settling. And I think you need to
probably
take it to
want
prayer.
To admit it, but I'd really like you to take it to
and,
prayer.
And all the pastors and deacons out there who are listening and hearing this, I need you to hear what we're saying. You do a real disservice to couples like Gail when you don't say, you know what, guys, I need you to live apart for the time of your marriage preparation. I need you to do that because I won't marry you unless you do. Because if you let this go, what you're doing is you are being codependent, and you're codependent with this addiction to the relationship and the settling that people are doing, and you're setting people up to fail.
And I have to say, for those people who are screaming at their radio, they're living in mortal sin. Believe me, we're addressing that. Sin is settling for less than God created you to live in. And it's blinding you to how much you're worth, Gail. And you and this guy, frankly, are worth so much more than you're settling into. So really, please take this to prayer. Work it out. There are other friends you can share apartments with to reduce the cost of your rent. You don't have to just do this because it's easy, because you deserve more than just easy.
I know you weren't expecting this, Gail, but I think that we've given you a lot to take to prayer and to really think hard about. And I know that if you do it, then you're going to have a very different future than if you don't, because you're going to be choosing to live and to create a life that God wants for you instead of just sliding into whatever life gives you. I'm going to really encourage you to pick up a copy of For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. It really talks a lot about what the Catholic difference in relationship and what do you really deserve from marriage, and how do you set up your life to get it. Thanks so much for the call. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about outrage. What is getting under your skin? Who is getting under your skin? If you are upset about a person or a situation and you just don't know what to do about it, let's turn that outrage into action and find effective, graceful solutions moving forward. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC. This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, you often hear the word extreme used today to describe certain experiences, beliefs, and behaviors. While we might consider the desert monks to be extreme, they are actually the model for the normal Christian.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9. On 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about outrage. A new study by Carnegie Mellon University looks at how outrage rarely leads to productive action. So we want to turn that anger you feel toward those people and situations that are driving you crazy into an effective plan for making real change. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Marion, who's listening on Guadalupe Radio in Houston, Texas.
Hi, Marion. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for taking my call. Basically, we've got four kiddos spanning from 17 to 2 years old, and our 8-year-old, who is the third born, has a sensory processing disorder and ADHD.
Okay.
And we've known this since he was about 4. And when he was 5 and a half, we did put him on Clilivin for like a year and 4 months. Mm-hmm. Until we found out we couldn't do health insurance anymore. My husband is a principal, and we just couldn't afford. It's about $2,000 a month, and I'm an educator, performer, and I have my own business, but I'm just trying to help our family stay afloat. So there is some financial strain. However, we went up with a Catholic health share and found out we can't do psychotropic medications. I didn't even know what that was. We pulled in, went cold turkey immediately, and instead tried to follow the Vatican teachings from my own research saying, okay, really behavioral therapy is the way to go. So, well, the best I could find was occupational therapy. They did a great job with him. I advocated with the public school system, left, right, backwards. He's now in second grade and is coded special ed, so we can try to give him the support that he needs. He has so much energy and lack of that thinking process with that prefrontal cortex. I've studied as much as I can. And at school, he is really not controlling himself. His teacher's amazing. Trying, a special ed team seems to be working with him, but it's not. He's coming home and he's hurting little kiddos at school, and he doesn't even mean to. And so I'm having that issue. And at home.
How's he at home?
With our. He argumentative. When he's alone, like if I say, Isaac, that is enough. Please, honey, go up to your room and play Legos. After we argue for about 7 minutes, he'll go up and he'll play with Legos for like 20 minutes. But as soon as he comes down to try to have any kind of conversation with our teens, whether they're 17 and 15, and the 17-year-old has mono, so there's a whole other thing. It's been like 8 months. But they argue constantly, and there's so much tension in the house. I don't know what to do to help solve the situation.
All right, well, hang on, because we got 30 seconds before we have to go to break. I'm going to have to ask you to hold on the phone over the break. We'll pick up with some thoughts when we come back after this break. But just hold on the phone, Marianne, because we've got some good ideas for where to go with this. And, you know, in particular, we're going to focus on how, you know, can you begin to help this kiddo develop the focus and the self-control that he needs to be able to kind of work through stuff with you instead of just getting caught up in that place where his brain sort of locks down and he can't think and he can't be his best self. So we'll talk through a bit of that when we come back. We're continuing to take your calls about those people and situations that are causing you to feel outraged today on More to Life. Give us a call. We'll work it out together at 877-573-7825.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
You're invited to the 9th annual Ave Maria University Michigan Scholarship Dinner Dance, Saturday, March 9th at the Ann Arbor residence of Tom Monahan. Enjoy an evening of fine Irish and Polish fare with entertainment by the O'Hare Irish Dancers and Big Daddy Lukowski. All proceeds benefit AMU Michigan Scholarships, helping Michigan students attend Ave Maria University. For more information, call 734-930-3441 or visit AveMariaFoundation.org. This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
What are the doctrines Catholics believe and why do we believe them? Hi, this is Peggy Stanton. Join me on Power from the Pews for more than a minute with the Catechism as I quiz the experts, top theologians, philosophers, and catechists to share the truths about our Catholic faith. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi,
I'm Lisa Popcheck. Many new parents approach Greg and I with questions about techniques to be successful parents. But this is the wrong attitude. Remember, your baby is not a machine. There's no operating manual for parenthood. Every parent needs to learn the language their baby speaks in order to create a positive, trust-filled relationship that is optimal for his or her emotional, spiritual, and physical development. The language of baby consists of touch, cuddles, and intensive FaceTime. By speaking this language, you are telling your baby, come close to me, learn from me, let me teach you what the world means and what it means to be you. There are supporting actions such as baby wearing and breastfeeding, but most important is your attitude. You brought this little person into the world. The best gift that you can give them is a willingness to give yourself in self-donative love. For more ways to build a positive relationship with your child, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Folks, you're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And before the break, we were talking with Marion in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Marion, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Great, thanks. All right. So before the break, just to kind of recap here, you were saying you have four kids, but the one in particular that we're talking about today is an 8-year-old with ADHD. You've tried to get him some help with occupational therapy and some medication, but he's not on the medication now, and he's just really argumentative at home and tends to be very impulsive and even hurtful to some of the other kids at school. Is that a fair summary of kind of what you're dealing with there?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. One quick question for you. You mentioned, when you were talking about getting him off the medication, that you were looking at behavior therapy. Have you guys done any behavior therapy or family therapy for this?
No, and that's what I feel like I need, and I don't know where to go to try to find it.
That's exactly
what I need. Yeah.
Okay, yes. I'm thrilled that you've identified that. First of all, can I just give you a big hug for being one of the most proactive, educated moms that I've ever spoken to? Like, I'm in love with you. You've done your research. You've proactively worked to figure this out and not just accept what other people are telling you. Mm-hmm. You've got so much going on here, and I don't know if it'll bring down any of your stress, but if I could, I'd come over, make you a meal, give you a hug, and give you some time to just go soak in a bathtub, because you are doing saintly work here, and I'm really impressed with what you're doing.
Okay, so where do we go from here? We're going to give you some resources and some ideas for how to follow up with getting the behavioral help that you need. But I also want to give you some practical tips just to kind of walk away from the call with that I think will be a big difference. The thing about ADHD, it's not so much a disorder as it is a constellation of symptoms. I'm not saying it's not a disorder. I'm saying that it's like saying I have a stuffy nose, okay? There could be 300 things causing that stuffy nose.
Allergies, yeah. A cold, a sinus, problem, a million things.
Yeah, okay. And saying I have a stuffy nose, I mean, it describes a symptom and a real problem, but it doesn't tell you what's causing it. Same thing with ADHD. There are at least 25, 26 different things that can cause ADHD symptoms. So when you say a kid has ADHD, what you're really saying is, he doesn't pay attention and he has bad focus and poor impulse control. But there are lots of different things that can contribute to that. So that's why medication tends to be kind of a hit or miss thing. I'm not saying that kids shouldn't be on medication. I'm just saying that it tends to be less effective than most parents would like it to be. So where do we go with this? What do we do? The thing that is sort of universally effective, regardless of why the kid is struggling with focus, with attention, with self-control, is that they need to learn in behavior therapy how to tell the difference between them being in their reactive brain versus what we'll call their responsive brain. Okay, when you're in your responsive brain, you're able to say, okay, these things are happening to me, and this is how I feel about it, but here's how I'm going to choose to act. You can actually be conscious about your feelings and about your actions. But as your emotional temperature increases and your bloodstream gets kind of surged with adrenaline and cortisol, then you kick over to your reactive brain. and you can actually watch this happen on a functional MRI, where your cortex, your thinking brain, goes offline, and your limbic system just lights up like a Christmas tree. And that limbic system is sort of the very primitive, emotional, reactive brain. It's the seat of your fight, flight, or freeze responses. And your little guy, when he feels overwhelmed, sounds like he lashes out. So he has more of kind of a fight response, okay? But that's all coming from that lower, primitive limbic system. When we're in our responsive brain, the limbic system says, hey, I want to fight. But the cortex says, no, you know, slow your roll, kid. What do you want to do about this? How can we, you know that, yes, you want to fight, but that's not going to work here, so what can you do instead? And the kid has a little conversation in his brain where you figure out what to do instead. But when you're in that reactive brain, you can't have that conversation. The limbic system says, you know, yell at mom or punch that kid in the nose, and you just do it because you're in that fight, flight, or freeze response. The key to helping him manage this is learning how to stay in his responsive brain rather than his reactive brain. And that's going to involve, you know, that might involve getting some behavior therapy or family therapy, which we'll kind of finish up with. You specifically asked for that, so we'll give you some resources for that. But the process is going to be learning how to help him identify the points on his emotional temperature scale, kind of where he's at, and how to keep that emotional temperature down, right? So, for instance, you'll help him identify certain behaviors, not whenever he's already yelling and screaming at you, but maybe when he's acting a little more impulsive. And you're going to be able to say, you know, hey, Isaac, what can we do to take it down maybe a notch here? And you have a list of things that he can turn to, whether that's just taking a deep breath or saying a little prayer or maybe even taking some time to do a quiet activity or whatever it is. You're going to have a list of calming down activities or calming down strategies.
And they're not, some of them will not be traditional things that people who are not dealing with his issues would do. There, I'll give you a couple of resources, but there are some really specific things that you could be doing that will help his particular brain calm down in a way that other people would never have to or think
about.
And
that has to do with the sensory processing stuff that you mentioned. So I'll kick that back to Lisa in just a second. But so you're going to want to work with somebody to kind of walk through the points of the emotional temperature scale and help him identify where he's at and become more aware of where he's at and what he needs to do to monitor that temperature before he gets to the place where he's out of control. Because either he or you guys aren't really cluing in until he's already at like a 7, 8, or 9. Okay, we got to help him identify where he's at when he's still at a 6.
And mind you, you could say he's always at a 7, 8, or 9. That would be the truth. That's where he is right now.
So how do we get
that
temperature down enough that he can control it, and how do we help him maintain that lower emotional temperature? That doesn't mean, by the way, that he has to live in a sensory deprivation chamber. He's obviously got to learn how to deal with life. Being able to get control of that emotional temperature has more to do with what's going on inside of him than what it does outside of him. We actually talk about this emotional temperature scale and how to help kids get a better handle on that in our book, Parenting with Grace, The Catholic Parent Guide to Raising Almost Perfect Kids. Ross Green also does a good job with this in his book, The Explosive Child, so you might want to check that out as well. In terms of helping him have better potential to have that conversation inside his head and process his emotions better, there are some things that you can do to kind of address that sensory processing bit.
Well, the best that I have ever found in my research, Marianne, is two books, but I think there might be even more resources around it, called The Out of Sync Child and The Out of Sync Child Has Fun.
Yeah.
And the second one, The Out of Sync Child Has Fun, the whole second half of the book, you could probably skip most of the first half. You've done your research. You've got this. The second half of the book gives really great ways where you as a mom interpreting what's going on, seeing your particular child's behaviors, can use things to help him calm down and lower that emotional temperature.
Yeah, and even though the title of the book is The Out of Sync Child Has Fun, they're fun activities for him. But it's really their therapeutic activities.
Yeah, they're therapeutic activities that, one, will join you two together and make you feel like more of a team, and two, will really help him calm down. So, for example, with my youngest daughter, one of the techniques in there that I used when she was a toddler, it's a special kind of massage. You hold your hand in a particular way and run your knuckles up and down their backbone in a particular way, and that really reduces the stress. I used to sit at Mass and do that for her very discreetly because she get so overwhelmed by the noise and the people, and it's all particular to how you see your child processing his environment. So take a look at those two. follow that rabbit trail of that book and where that author takes things, and I think it will give you a lot of, you know, things you can do right now in your home as you're looking for the support team that you need.
All right, so just to recap those books, Parenting with Grace, we'll talk more about that emotional temperature scale. Ross Green, in his book, The Explosive Child, we'll talk more about the kinds of discipline that you can use to help a kid be more in his responsive brain rather than reactive brain. And then Lisa just mentioned The Out of Sync Child, and The Out of Sync Child has fun. As in terms of actually getting a professional to kind of work with, I'm not aware of the resources in your area. If you want to talk with your physician or your pastor for his local referrals, those are some good things. But you're looking for a family therapist or somebody who does behavior therapy for kids with ADHD, we actually do that work through the Pastoral Solutions Institute and our telephone counseling practice. Our approach is to work with mom and dad as well. To create the structure that will help their kid heal. So, you know, we don't want to stand in the place of the parents. We want to help the parents be able to help their own kid. So our goal would be to help work with you and your husband to get the resources and the structure that you need to be able to create the environment that will help him get a better handle on himself. So if you want to work with us, you can reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can hook you up with one of our therapists. But Marianne, there's definitely a way through this. You've done a lot of good research, as Lisa pointed out already.
So grateful for you being in the world.
I think these couple of pieces will help fill in the gaps and get you where you need to go. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for the call, Marianne. 877-573-7825. We are talking with you today about those people and situations that provoke you to outrage. We want to help turn that outrage into action. Give us a call. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Rebecca, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Denver, Colorado.
Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help?
Hi.
Great to hear from you today. What can we do for you?
Well, so my problem is not with my own outrage, but with someone else's, and specifically my parents, who are both very good believing people, but they listen to a lot of political radio. And my mom will call me up sometimes very, very upset about something going on in either local or national politics. And if I feel like whatever I say to try to calm her down, I tend to make it worse. And she tends to take that as me saying, none of your concerns are important, instead of saying...
What would you say that she would interpret that way? Just give me a better sense of that.
I'm trying to think. We had a conversation just the other day where she called up and she's just very upset about things going on at our local legislature. And at some point I said to her something about, you know, maybe you shouldn't be listening to so much political radio. It just gets you very upset. Maybe you should turn it off and take some time to pray. And I think that was not helpful at the time to say that to her.
Well, you know, number one, you know, you can't always take somebody else's feelings away from them. So, you know, there's no guaranteed way to approach this that will always net the result you're looking for. Okay, so let's start with that and just manage those expectations. You might not be able to make them feel better if they don't want to feel better. That said, there are certain things you can do that kind of stack the deck in favor of a calmer response. And the first thing you want to do is to make sure you don't try to talk somebody out of what they're feeling, because you've probably experienced this yourself, Rebecca, when you've been upset about something and your husband or somebody else goes, hey, just calm down, Rebecca. Just calm down. I am calm. What are you talking about? Right? The worst thing we can say to somebody who's upset is, well, you just calm down, you know, because then we feel like they don't understand or they don't care or they don't get it. And that just makes things worse. So step one is to kind of empathize, right? You say, wow, Mom, you're really upset about this. That's a really upsetting thing. And I
all you're doing is really acknowledging what she's feeling.
And a lot of times we're afraid to acknowledge that because we're afraid if we do, then we'll reward it. But really, the opposite happens. The person feels heard, they feel understood, and they feel like, okay, I've communicated my message, so I can stop putting as much energy into this as I have been.
And I have to say, that's particularly important for an adult child to do for a parent, because somewhere in your mom's reaction to what she considers, you know, the world going to heck in a handbasket, is that she's worried. Part of her brain is worried about the world you're inheriting, and do you see this, and are you going to be okay? So if you can acknowledge you're really concerned about this, Mom, this is a really, you know, valid concern you have, she's going to say, okay, she gets it. I can, you know, one day when I leave the planet, she won't, like, you know, slide away with the rest of the world. That part, at least, is okay. So you're really helping her to calm down at least that part of herself.
So step one is to empathize, okay? But then step two is to redirect towards solutions, all right? Because, again, that outrage gives us the illusion of action. And so in order to get your mom out, or your parents out of that outrage state of mind, you have to try to redirect them to some kind of actual action. So you empathize, so step one. Step two is, you know, this is really a serious thing. What do you think God's asking you to do about it? You know, you feel really worked up about it. What do you think God is asking you to do? Do you feel like you need to write a letter to that legislator? Do you, what else do you need to do? She's going to say, oh, I don't know. But that's good, because when she says, I don't know, what you're doing is you're triggering her cortex, her thinking brain, to actually start thinking, well, what can I do about it? And then, and she might say, I don't know, because it's so big. You're right, Mom. It's really upsetting. What do you think God's asking you to do about it? Well, I just don't know. Well, you know, maybe that's something we should pray about. Hey, Lord, please help my mom figure out what you're asking her to do with all this anger that she's feeling. Clearly, you have a plan for her. Help her to really think about and understand what you want her to do to glorify you in this situation. Yeah, thanks for talking through this with me, Mom. I really appreciate that. And I hope that you can figure out something to do with this.
And it's very valid. You're not patting her on the head.
No,
I think the voice you're using a little bit, Greg, might be coming off as like, oh, you're just kind
no,
of,
I
yeah.
And I don't mean it that way.
And no, this is really what's important for all of us to be doing when we're this angry. And believe me, I don't think there's a person on the planet right now who is not.
I did this to myself.
Very revved up about some things that have happened in the last week.
The whole thing with the New York basically, you know, passing infanticide, and Delaware doing it too. I was really, really upset.
We were sick in this house. We were really sick.
You know, and I'm still upset. But I, you know, in talking through this with myself, I'm asking, okay, well, what is God asking me to do about it? How can I respond to this in a way that actually makes me, you know, enables me to do something productive instead of just sitting around here twisting my guts about it and being outraged.
You know, I once heard somebody say that the hungry don't get fed by us not eating. Okay? The hungry get fed by us being outraged enough to go out and make them a meal and bring it to them. Or, you know, to open a soup kitchen or something like that. So when we have this outrage, as your mother is having, putting her in the direction of, what is one small thing you can actually do, Mom? Can you write that letter? Can you get out and, you know, try to get the vote for somebody else that you do believe in? Can you do something practical in this situation to work against this? So, you know, work for a pregnancy help center, but get her to think, what is one thing that God has put me on this earth to do to change this? Why is he giving me this outrage?
All right, Rebecca, so those two steps, empathize, then redirect towards solutions, is going to be your key to helping your folks kind of do something a little better with all that outrage they're getting from the outrage machine they're listening to. If you have more questions about this, once you've tried that out, don't hesitate to call us back here on More to Life. We got to go to break. But when we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about turning outrage into action. If there are people or situations getting under your skin, let us help you make a plan for handling that effectively, gracefully, and peacefully. 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back right after the break.
How do you make your love's heart beat faster during Valentine's month? Buy a new car or truck while the deals are sweet. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And during Ram Truck Month, you can lease a new 2019 Ram 4x4 Bighorn for only $239 per month. Ram was just awarded the Motor Trend Truck of the Year for the second time. Come in and see 70 that we have in stock only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
When Joseph Ratzinger was elected Pope in 2005, he opened a path of purification for the Church. He still called upon the Western world to return to its Christian roots and to build a new humanism for the 21st century. We're going to look at his vision of the Church with Father Joseph Fessio, who studied under Joseph Ratzinger.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
On the next Christ is the Answer program, Father John Ricardo presents a pair of men's conference talks.
What will I hear on that day? And an urgent need, men of the courage to let the light shine. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
More tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we are talking about outrage. As we recognize that we are living in a time where everyone is outraged about everything. Well, a Carnegie Mellon University study found that outrage rarely leads to effective action, so we want to help you take that anger you're feeling about the people and situations in your life and turn it into an effective plan so you can do something about the stuff that's getting under your skin. Let's talk about it. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Lorna, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hi, Lorna. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Yes. Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. We have our neighbor's house is for sale, and we place an offer. And before we did the inspection, our neighbor said that they will just have the house as is. They're not going to fix it. So my husband asked them, is there anything wrong with the house? Is there a roof leak? And they said, no, there's none. So we, went forward with it, had an inspector. Well, the inspector found 8 leaks in the roof, which they need to fix the roof and replace it, but they refuse to do that.
Okay.
Me and
so
my husband,
have you bought the house then? I mean, are you stuck with it? Or,
no,
or?
We just placed an offer. We had it inspected first.
Good.
But I'm having a hard time with it because they did not disclose it, and we're neighbors, and they... Yeah, they also provided a receipt that they said they fixed it, but the invoice is dated 2010. So
okay, so it's been a while.
Well,
so they very may well, have done work that long ago, and new things have cropped up. When you've been in a house for a long time, stuff happens you don't even notice because you're just kind of living in it.
You know, I think that this is just the process of buying a house,
yeah.
Lorna. I mean, I think sometimes, in managing our outrage, the best way to do it is to create a little bit of a reality check. And I don't know whether your neighbors lied to you or not, but I think charity requires us to sort of assume that they didn't.
Right.
And that's why this process exists. You make an offer, you get an inspector to kind of double check everything, and the inspector kind of gives you the bad news. This is just what buying a house is. So
yeah, and just because it was your neighbor doesn't. If this was a total stranger, 1,000 miles away, could happen the same way, and you'd be disappointed. But there's no reason to be outraged. I think your neighbor was fairly forthcoming in saying, "Look, we're not doing anything to this house. Put in whatever bid you want. If you want to fix it up afterwards, great. But we're just not in a place where we have the energy or the money to fix it up." I think that was fairly honest.
That's pretty direct. So the ball's in your court, Lorna. You get to decide at this point. The best way to manage your anger at this point is to say, look, sit down with your husband and say, what is this place worth to us? Do we want to go ahead with it, knowing that we have to spend the money on these repairs, or not? That's your call, okay? But getting angry at them for lying,
I think it's displaced disappointment.
Yeah.
I think what you're really feeling is you had some hopes and dreams around this. You were hoping it would go off without a hitch. Who doesn't when you buy a house? And it didn't, and you're feeling really disappointed, and somehow you're interpreting that as betrayal because it gives you something to do about this. I'll be mad at my neighbor. That will give my emotions somewhere to go. Instead, I'd like you to see about channeling those emotions into, where do we really want to live? What do we really need in a house? Is this worth it to us, or do we need to, you know, go into a place that's absolutely A1 perfect? And really start working with a good realtor who can help you through this process.
So instead of wasting that energy getting angry at your neighbors, sit down with your husband and make a plan for what your next steps are going to be and what you're going to do with the information that you've been given from this inspector. I'm just glad you did it the right way.
Yep.
You know,
you're not stuck with it.
You're not stuck with it, right? This is exactly why the process is what it is. You did the right thing. You got the information you need. Take it back to prayer. Sit down with your husband and make a plan for how to move forward from here. And then just, you know, realize, Lorna, that as frustrating as this is, it's just kind of the way it works. All right? Thanks for the call. Well, that's all the time we've got for today's program. I want to thank you for sharing your stories with us. Look, you know, again, life is always giving us something to be upset about. And at this day and age, the outrage machine is just on 11. Right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's constantly furious. Well, remember, outrage just gives us the illusion of action. And anger is not a call to action, it's a call to prayer. So if you're upset about something or someone in your life, that's fine. You're probably recognizing an injustice. But that doesn't mean you need to stew in it. It doesn't mean you need to lash out. It means you need to go to God and say, Lord, help me figure out what the problem is, what you want me to do about it, and how I can move forward in a way that will glorify you. And if you need help making that happen, contact us at CatholicCounselors.com to check out the resources we mentioned on today's program, including the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Again, learn more at CatholicCounselors.com and get out there and celebrate the life you were meant to live, because there is so much more to life.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
On the next Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We'll keep you closely connected to the faith with the latest from Rome, the front lines of the pro-life movement, and we'll also take a look at other crucial issues facing you and your family in our one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
Catholic Connection, weekday mornings at 8 a.m. on 990 WDEO.
Welcome to Classical Conversations on Homeschooling, cultivating a love of learning through a Christian worldview. Here is Classical Conversations homeschooling advocate, Lee Boynton.
One of my favorite books is Exuberance, The Passion for Life by Kay Redfield Jamison. It's the kind of book that spurs me on in homeschooling through high school. They don't offer credits and living life full.